Hi everybody, I'm Ivan Martí Vidal and I will talk to you about this deep-phased Allman high-fidelity polarimetry with EHT. I think it's not necessary to emphasize anymore how important this high-fidelity polarimetry to achieve the main scientific goals of the Event Horizon Telescope. We have heard a lot of that in the last days. So in this talk, what I'm going to focus on is on how to achieve that, how to achieve the high-fidelity polarimetry, especially when using ALMA phasing project data. For those of you who don't know what the Swedish National Facility of Radio Astronomy, where I come from, I just show you this slide in a description of just 30 seconds. It's located in the very distant and cold Sweden, in Onsala, yeah, financed by the Swedish Research Council, and we provide lots of user support, access to our own infrastructure, and we are also contributing to the development of the big radio observatories in the world. And this is the outline of my talk. So in the first part, I will briefly discuss about what's the best way to do VLBI polarimetry. How can we optimize the information that we can extract from polarimetry in VLBI observations? Then I will talk about the ALMA phasing project very briefly, because you will have a better and deep discussion in the next talk. And I will talk about the main problem that we have when trying to join ALMA data with VLBI data, the problem of polarization compatibility. And then I will describe the solution that we have developed in a collaboration between the Max Planck Institute for Radio Astronomy and Onsala, a solution that we have implemented in a software called PolConvert. I will talk about this in a few slides. And in the last part of the talk, I will show you how it works with realistic simulations and with some real data. So let's begin. Polarization, polarimetry in VLBI. Basically, we have, as you all know from the previous talks, that we have two main different kinds of receivers. Ones which are the linear polarization feeds, just record X polarization and Y polarization in a linear basis, and the circular feeds, okay, which are recording the right circular polarization and left circular polarization. And depending on the receiver you have, you may encounter some problems and have some advantages and disadvantages. Basically, what happens if you work with circular polarization feeds is that in this case, the parallactic angle is just a phase correction. For those of you who don't know that, parallactic angle is a very simple concept. It's just the angle between the axis of your receiver, the antenna has an altazimuthal mount, will rotate with respect to the frame of the source, okay? So basically the angle between the frame of the source and the vertical direction, which defines the axis of your receivers, will change with our angle. And this is what we call the parallactic angle. So if you want to extract polarimetry information from your source, of course, you have to solve for this. And if your receivers have circular fits, that's trivial, it's just a phase correction. And that means that the parallactic angle commutes with the antenna gains. So it doesn't care. It's not important the order for which you apply this correction. You can apply the amplitude and phase calibration later or before the parallactic angle. That doesn't happen if your feeds are linear. And this is much more important than it seems at the first glance, because that means if you are observing your VLBI session, and your receiver has linear feeds, so you record in a linear polarization basis, then if one of your polarization streams is lost, you don't record it, or eventually the system temperatures increase like crazy because of some problems in the backend, then you lose all the data. All the data are lost. So losing one polarization stream means losing the whole data set. Whereas if your receiver is circular, you record circular polarization, losing one of the hands doesn't prevent you to do science with the other. Because of this, basically there's a commutation between the gain calibration and the parallactic angle correction. So you don't need information of one stream to calibrate the other stream. So that single polarization observations can still be calibrated. For those stations that can only record one of the streams, they have to have circular polarization receivers. There's no other way. And in this basis, it's also easier sometimes to detect linear polarization. So having circular fits is better to detect linear polarization. However, after all this, linear polarization fits are not that bad after all. Okay, they also have their advantages, many advantages compared to the circular polarization fields. For instance, linear polarization fields allow us to have wide, very wide bandwidths with a huge, or optimum, I would say, not huge, but optimum polarization purity throughout the whole band. Whereas if you have circular fields, it may depend on the frequency of your quarter wave plate. You may have a worse performance in your polarimetry. Okay? So the response to the polarization will be worse as you depart from the frequency for which the quarter wave plate was designed. Okay? And there are other advantages of linear polarization fields when you compare them to circular polarization fields. Linear fields allow you to do some tricks to the data. For example, the one I'm going to show you in the next slide. This is a little bit off topic, but I couldn't resist to add this to this talk. If you are observing at high frequencies, it's supposed that the linear polarization of your source will be much higher than the circular polarization. Linear polarization dominates. And that means that if you are recording with linear feeds, you can use just the stream coming from dual polarization correlations to reconstruct the whole polarization information from your source, using a technique which is inspired in what we call Earth rotation polarimetry synthesis, and it's called differential polarimetry. And this can only be done if you have linear feeds in your receivers. And I will show you now one slide that, well, I shouldn't show you, but I will. I shouldn't show because it's still being refereed. These are ALMA observations of a distant blazar, a very distant blazar, taken in cycle 0 and cycle 1 at millimeter and submillimeter wavelengths. Okay? In cycle 0 and cycle 1, the observatory didn't offer polarization yet, but we could still extract polarimetry information thanks to the fact that the receivers were linear. And from these beautiful differential polarization signals that we have here, from these ALMA dual pole observations, we could derive rotation measures at a redshift corrected wavelength of 0.3 millimeters, okay? And we, from the frequency dependence of the rotation of the polarization signal, we could derive a rotation measure of the order of several times 10 to the 8 radian per square meter. As far as I know, that's two orders of magnitude higher than the highest ever reported, ever found in the universe. So linear polarization fields are also cool, aren't they? So not everything is circular polarization fields. There are lots of things you can do with linear feeds also. So in short, circular polarization and linear polarization receivers have their own advantages and disadvantages. One may be better or worse than the other, depending especially on your particular science case or your particular instrument, okay? But in any case, and especially for VLBI, where the parallactic angles and the time change of parallactic angles can be very different among the different antennas because of the very long baselines, okay? In this particular case, it may be preferred to have always circular polarization fields, because that will make your life much easier, okay? More safe and easier. Okay, so this is the main point that I would like you to remember from this first part of the talk. Linear polarization fields are good, especially good for VLBI. Okay, now let's go to the second part, ALMA phasing project. I will not talk in depth about this because Mike will describe it in more detail in the following talk. But here I would like just to emphasize the main point of the project. Basically, what we want to do is to add up the signal coming from each one of all the ALMA antennas into one single stream, okay, the phased stream, and then record this stream and correlate it with other stations around the world. That's the basic idea, okay? So the goal is to use the whole ALMA as one single VLBI station, and you know that will increase sensitivity, resolution by a factor of several, and that will be one of the main key milestones for the Event Horizon telescope. This project is much more complicated than it seems at a first glance, because there are lots of things to be corrected and done, as you will remember from the previous talk by Geoff Crew. And here's an incomplete list of people belonging to the project. So if you feel that your name should appear here and it doesn't, please don't kill me. It's just an incomplete list. There was no space for everybody. Okay, and yeah, basically, this is a big challenge, okay? Facing an array that is observing unmillimeter and submillimeter wavelengths, which baselines that can have kilometers, is very challenging. Because we want to do it in an optimum way, we want to optimize the corrections for the atmosphere or minimize the problems with the atmosphere and so on. So basically, like I say here, especially for the use of VLBI, we want to keep the coherence as high as possible. We need a state-of-the-art solution for some important problems. Here I will just describe a few of them, okay? Not all of them are shown here. First, the real-time track and correction of atmospheric phase. Okay, so we have to correct especially the wet or vapor radiometry in each one of the antennas before the phasing. And we have to add this information as fast as possible to improve the phasing, okay, as the data are arriving at the correlator. Okay, this different frequency sampling, you have already heard a lot of it in the previous talk. And I'm going to focus in this one, polarization compatibility. Because ALMA, as I have shown you in the previous figure of the differential polarization of that blazar, ALMA records, ALMA records in linear base. The ALMA antennas have linear feeds, whereas the rest of VLBI stations are recording in circular polarization bases, have circular feeds. So how do we deal with this? Okay, after many discussions about what was the best strategy to follow, the final decision was to do like this. So the final strategy that will be followed will be to record the streams, the phased streams that come from the ALMA antennas as they are coming. So we do not change anything. We just blindly record them as they are coming in X and Y. So we don't care about what's the polarization basis of the feeds. We just record the streams as they come. And then we will cross-correlate all polarization products among all the baselines, also blindly, without taking care of what's the polarization basis of these streams. So that means that when we correlate ALMA with another antenna, the visibilities that we will be recording will be given in this funny base here, okay? X with R, X with L, Y with R, Y with L. So we will mix apples with oranges, basically, okay? And then the problem is to convert this funny combinations of polarization products to a pure circular basis, as if ALMA would have observed with circular feeds, okay? So that's the point. We will apply the conversion after the correlation, in the very latest step. The main advantages of this strategy are obvious. First, on the first hand, the hardware implementation is minimum. It's done at the very end. We don't need to change anything at any of the stages, recording or correlation. There's flexibility for post-processing. That's also obvious because the later you apply a correction, the more reversible it is. Okay, so once we apply this correction, we find that the correction didn't work, and we can improve the calibration, for instance, then we can just change the calibration and reconvert again. So nothing will be lost. And also, of course, there's the easy adaptability for future stations that will eventually record in linear basis. So the same solution, or almost the same solution that will be applied to ALMA, can be applied to these newer stations that may come. Okay, so this is all very beautiful, very good, nice strategy, but how do we implement it? Is it possible, indeed, to recover the pure circular polarization signal from these mixed polarization visibilities? Well, the problem is, in principle, not trivial, but fortunately, thanks to a very nice formalism called the interferometer measurement equation, it can be written in a very easy way and can be solved very easy way, very straightforward. Basically, what we have is that each ALMA antenna has independent corrections in the XY base. So each ALMA antenna will have its own bandpass in X, its own bandpass in Y, its own cross delay, its own gain that can be different for X and Y, and we are adding everything blindly. We don't care about the bandpass of each antenna or the leakage of each antenna, which can be different among antennas. We don't care of that. We just add up everything. Can we correct the phased signal, the zoom signal, taking into account each one of the individual corrections coming from each individual antenna? Okay, basically, that's the math that proves that it can be done. Basically, what we call the brightness matrix, which is a matrix involving the four polarization products that are being produced. And for the case of the phased ALMA signal, it will just be the addition of the brightness matrices coming from all the other ALMA, from the, all the other baselines to all the other, sorry, ALMA antennas. So basically, the brightness matrices related to the contribution of each individual ALMA antenna to the VLBI fringe will have its own correction matrix, okay? And this correction matrix can have everything, the different bandpass, the different gains, the cross delay among X and Y, and the leakage, okay? So this K matrix will have all the information coming from the calibration of each individual antenna. Okay, and then it can be shown that the brightness matrix of the VLBI fringe in the pure circular basis will just be the observed one in mixed basis. So this circle here means circular, the cross means linear. So this is the two antennas of the baselines will have a circular polarization basis. This is the mixed brightness matrix, the one that is will be observed with an ALMA and another antenna. Then we apply just the inverse of this K matrix, which has something to do with the average of all gains coming from all antennas, and then a conversion matrix that does the magic, takes us anything given in the mixed basis and convert it to circular. So that's the trick. It's just the only thing we need to know are all these numbers here. So the gains of each individual antenna. From that, we build up the combined calibration matrix that will correct the phased signal coming from the combination of all the signals from all the ALMA antennas, and then we apply the conversion to a pure circular basis. This is what we have to do. And we can do this because in the ALMA phasing, the signals will not just be added. They will also be cross-correlated. So we will have all the cross-correlations among the ALMA antennas, as if ALMA was observing in a standalone mode, okay? And from this, we can derive all these gains. It will just be an ordinary ALMA calibration procedure. And once we have these gains, the only thing we have to do is to compute the K matrix and apply the conversion. And all these steps are performed in this software that we have developed between Max Planck Institute and Onsala, PolConvert, that will basically take the gains that we will derive from the measurement set coming from ALMA, the cross correlations among ALMA antennas, and we'll take all these gains and we'll compute the K matrix interpolated in both frequency and time and apply it to the VLBI visibilities and convert. So here I show you an example of how it works with simulations. The first thing we did was to implement, to program a realistic simulator, as realistic as possible, to compute these mixed polarization visibilities and then test PolConvert. Basically, what we have simulated is 10 ALMA antennas, which observe a given signal coming from the sky in this basis, XY. Each one of these antennas will have its independent and completely uncorrelated from the rest, bandpass, gain, cross delay, and leakage. And then we will combine this signal and correlate it with the signal from the same source given in the circular basis, RL. So basically, we simulate one VLBI station recorded in circular, 10 ALMA antennas phased up, observing in XY, and then we basically perform the cross-correlation among ALMA antennas and save it in the measurement set, which is the data format used in ALMA, and we also compute a VLBI fringe given in SWIN, which is the format of defects. And for these simulations, we take into account thermal noise, signal quantization in both time and amplitude. Thank you. Yes. And so that I got a bit. So here I show what I show you here are the fringes in mixed polarization mode. So here you have Rx, Ly, Ry, and Lx. Okay, this is the amplitude versus frequency, and this is phase versus frequency. This is for a source which has one Jansky and no polarization, an unpolarized source of one Jansky. You can see all the four products have, some of them have funny shapes as a function of frequency and amplitudes of 0.22, around 0.22. Whereas when we apply PolConvert, so we use this measurement set to derive the gains of that we apply to the antennas and use these gains to inject these gains in PolConvert, this is the final product that we get, where RR and LL are blue and red, and the cross-hand polarizations are green and black. And as you can see, the conversion works perfect. So there's absolutely no leakage left after the conversion. You could now say, okay, Ivan, that's very beautiful, that's great, but this source was unpolarized. What happens if the calibrator happens to be polarized? Okay, if there is polarization, for instance, 10% in channel Q, we can repeat the same exercise. And here I show you the resulting fringe when the parallactic angle is zero. So we basically have the RL equals to LR with phase zero, and this is indeed what we get. And we can now let the Earth rotate and observe with a parallactic angle of 45 degrees, where there should be a difference of 180 degrees between RL and LR, because now we are Q is converted into U, and again, we obtain what we have to obtain. So it works great. So we in the ALMA calibration, we solve for the calibration of the calibrator, we solve for the polarization of the calibrator together with the D terms, and then we apply everything blindly, yeah, to Paul convert. We don't care if the resulting gains are similar or not. We just apply them as we compute them, and the results work great. So it's perfect. Here I show you what we would obtain. Here is just the previous plot I showed you. And here at left, I show you what we would obtain if we would apply the conversion without applying this K matrix. So this is what would happen if we would have applied the conversion either at the recording stage, at the ALMA site, or at the correlation stage in defects. So with no information about the K matrix. And this is what would happen. You see the leakage is quite nasty. Yeah, and the phases are definitely not right. So this is the role. This difference between this and this is the main point of Paul convert, of using this K matrix before the conversion is being performed. And now I'm going to talk you about real data. Okay, these are not ALMA data. This is a baseline of the EVN between Onsala, the millimeter telescope at Onsala, and Effelsberg. And now you may wonder, what's the point of this? Because these two stations are recording in circular basis. So what are you testing, indeed? Okay, what we have done is that dirty trick, okay, to record in a mixed polarization basis. So this was part of the fringe test of the GMVA made in May 2014, May this year. And the only thing we had to do to simulate ALMA observations, ALMA VLBI observations, was to remove the quarter wave plate at Onsala. Easy. So a quarter wave plate, as you know, converts circular polarization into linear. So if you remove this, then what the dipoles at the end of the front end will detect will be the linear polarization coming from the sky and not the circular that will have been converted into linear. Okay? So the only thing we have to do is to remove the quarter wave plate. Here you see the new 3 millimeter receiver of the Onsala telescope. And here you have the quarter wave plate. So in order to simulate ALMA, as if Onsala was ALMA, the only thing we had to do is to just take it a little bit up. So we have our ALMA, okay? And then we just recorded blindly. Onsala was recorded in XY base, Effelsberg in RL. And then we just run defects on the computed streams. And then we applied Paul convert, okay? And here I show you the fringes that we get in mixed bases, XL, YR, XR, YL. Here is delay, here is fringe rate. And you can see very wake fringes. Well, this is the strongest, but I promise there's a fringe here, I promise. It's extremely wake. So these are the fringes that we have in mixed bases. Then we plug this into Paul convert. Of course, to derive the gains, I had to do it by eye because we only had one baseline and there's no software to calibrate mixed polarization visibilities yet. And after this, this was the result. So these are the cross-hand polarizations with no signal. And the whole signal coherently adds up to the parallel hand fringes. So it works. We have our pure circular polarization visibilities after Paul convert. And well, what I'm going to show you now, if I still have time, how much time do I have? 1 minute? 2 minutes? Okay, this is more than enough then. Yeah, so there are some the results of some tests performed a while ago at the site. So what I'm going to show you are very, very preliminary results, okay? And indeed, the control software was not working as it should. There will be some discussion in the next talk, I think, maybe. Okay, so take this with care. Well, these results are far from optimum. But now, at this stage, they should look much better. The problem is that I didn't have time to ask for the new data. There are new observations, but I didn't have time to ask for them. So these are very old and relatively old, and the software wasn't working so great. So not Paul convert, but the control software there. So there were phased up three antennas observed in this source, a close by calibrator to Sagittarius A. These are the three antennas that were used. And basically what they did at the site is to cross-correlate individual antennas among them and correlate them to the phased signal. So we had, like if we had four antennas, okay? And then DFX computed the linear, pure linear polarization visibilities because only ALMA antennas are involved here, so that we had to apply pole convert twice in each site to convert from pure linear to pure circular. And this is basically what we have. This is the correlation of one of the antennas to the phased signal. It's obvious that we get a very strong signal because that the hidden autocorrelation is here. Yeah, we are correlating the antenna with a phased signal from which she belongs, okay? And here you have in pure linear and here you have in pure circular. So no loss of quality, okay, after the conversion. This is in pure linear for one of the baselines of the single antennas. And when we convert, okay, there's basically no change in quality. Notice this structure here in rate direction that introduce time-dependent leakage when we convert from linear to circular. It's subtle, okay? So something as easy as a rate in one basis is converted in something as nasty as time-evolving leakage when you convert, okay? And here you have the, yes, here is what I was telling you. This is the pure linear. And when you convert to pure circular, there appears some leakage here, which has to do with these problems here that we have with the coherence of the fringe. But if there would be higher coherence, the quality of the conversion would certainly be better. Okay, so these are the conclusions. So with ALMA phasing project, ALMA will be used as one single millimeter VLBI station. We all know that. Okay. We must solve essential problems for APP to succeed. Real-time phase correction, different time sampling, polarization compatibility, which is the thing I talked about now. And we have developed, to solve this problem, an algorithm for the calibration and conversion of the visibilities, which is pole convert. The program works both with realistic simulations and real data. And the VLBI visibilities could be converted satisfactorily to a pure circular basis. And last but not least, a similar strategy could eventually be applied to future wideband VLBI, observations, where the bandwidth can be so wide that the use of quarter wave plates could compromise the quality of the polarimetry. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, a couple of short questions. Yes, Remo.
This is very interesting. Presumably, one can equally well for baselines to ALMA, turn the products into as if both antennas were linear, right? Yeah. What I can't figure out in my head is that a good way of looking for circular polarization? Because if both antennas really were linear, it would be.
That's a very interesting question. Very interesting, because the fact that you observe in mixed polarization mode, it's very curious that brings the best of both worlds to your visibility. Here I show you what happens if you are observing a source which has circular polarization and you don't solve for it in the calibration and in the conversion. So you assume that there's zero V Stokes, then you calibrate, find your D terms, convert, and then you find V in your pure circular polarization visibility. So this is very, very robust, okay? You put the signal of a circular polarization, you don't solve for it, there's still there affecting the gains, but after all, when you convert, you see it in the pure circular polarization.
I got it.
So that's interesting because there's degeneracy also to solve for V-Stokes when you are observing in a pure linear basis.
Okay, very much. Just
yes, the wide-banding is not the only reason you want to actually go away from circular polarization at the single disk stations. When it's a little story I can tell you. Imagine you're having your nightly barbecue at the Apex, right, down there, and suddenly you get a call you want to do millimeter field BI. Well, you have to leave your burger and drive up the mountain to insert the polarimeter. Because, in fact, none of the observatories have remotely controllable polarimeters. And, you know, and even on the computer control, many of them cannot even rotate on the computer control. So if we actually want to go to these turnkey systems and easier operation, and certainly, you know, flexible scattering type of schemes, we would actually have to build these kind of gadgets at a telescope for them. So that is one of the key reasons why we also want to go to linear polarizations.
The problem is, well, if you want to convert, let's say on the fly, just coming from the backend, you have the problem that you have cross delays and cross and differential gains. And that would introduce a huge leakage in the conversion. So you must solve for these cross polarization gains before the conversion. So you need to correlate first and then find out which gains you have to apply before you convert.
Okay. Eber, you have
so if I understood correctly, you're using the fact that Ulm is going to measure all of its polarization calibration information. And you've constructed an average correction. But that must depend upon your intrinsic signal, right? That those averages that you constructed are averages over the actual measured signal, right?
Yes. So we basically assume that the VLBI fringe that you get is the coherent sum of the VLBI fringes that you will get from each individual Ulm antenna.
Right. So then that means that the correction you apply is terribly nonlinear, right? Because, okay, so then that gets me to the real question is, are we going to have to talk about non-Gaussian error distributions for visibilities constructed this way? Or does it all wash out?
It's here. Well, as you say, this can be strongly nonlinear, especially because there's also an inversion involved here. But fortunately, ALMA is so great that this matrix is almost how is this word in English? I don't remember. It's diagonal. Okay? It's almost diagonal, so it's quite stable numerically. And as I said, here in the simulations, I used realistic values. Very realistic values coming from what I'm seeing from the commissioning, for instance, for the case of the D-terms, and the typical shapes of the bandpass that I see. And the solution is very stable.
So that looks fantastic. But I guess my question is, what's the distribution of the fluctuations around the expected value?
Distribution of? Sorry?
Of the errors, of the fluctuations around expected values.
That's something I haven't done. But we could, of course, assume that if CASA wouldn't have been good enough to find the gains that it should have found, then if we slightly change the gains, how would it affect the conversion? That's something I haven't done. Because I've trusted that CASA will find the optimum solution always.
Okay, thank the speaker again.
Thank you.